A minimum wage bill, gambling expansion talks, and an FBI scandal enveloping longtime Illinois Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan. The 101st Illinois General Assembly is only a month into the spring session. Bills are moving across the floor, as well as a lot of other things going on. GLT's Mary Cullen speaks with Republican State Senator Jason Berrickman about the month's top legislation.
Senate Bill 1, the minimum wage increase bill, passed the Illinois Senate. It now heads to the House. You voted against the measure, saying that more negotiations were needed. So what, in your opinion, is the bill missing?
You know, currently, Illinois has a minimum wage that is different in communities like ours in Bloomington Normal than it is in, say, Chicago. This proposal mandates a statewide fixed rate that ends up at $15 an hour across the state. I've been very critical of that because it doesn't recognize the geographic differences, the cost of living differences for our community and downstate communities as opposed to others, such as in Chicago. We advocated strongly in the Senate that there be some geographical differences applied to the legislation. Although that was considered, there was never a vote on that type of an amendment. The sponsor ultimately rejected that idea and pushed this statewide uniform minimum wage hike through. It now goes to the House. I think there will be continued efforts there to apply some kind of geographic regional factor to the minimum wage increase. I'm hopeful that can happen. In the absence of that, I'm very concerned of how this is going to play out. I think, you know, there's been a lot of attention in the media about the impact to the business community, which I think is very real. But it's not just limited to business owners. Everyone who employs people is going to be impacted by this, whether it be the universities, community colleges, K-12, not-for-profits, the human service providers who provide services to people in need in our community. All of these entities are going to be impacted by a minimum wage hike. Some of them don't have the ability to simply raise their prices, whether it's the university, you know, maybe they do a tuition hike. If it's a not-for-profit, what it usually means is that you're going to cut services or lay off some of the people that you currently employ. And if you're a K-12 system, who, by the way, just recently is receiving more money from the state from some of the good things that I think we've done, those K-12 systems, some of them are going to see all of that new money spent on this new unfunded mandate. And they're going to, some will be forced with the reality that they need to advocate for a property tax increase just to pay for this minimum wage hike. So I have a lot of concerns with this, and I'm hopeful. I mean, it's a stretch to think that this is going to go to the House, where Speaker Madigan's the head of the House. Over in the House, I'm hopeful that some reasonably minded Democrats will stand forward and say this one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work for this issue in our big geographic state.
And that one-size-fits-all approach, again, we're talking about that regional changing the wage based on region. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that Chicago and Cook County are the only two that have a different wage from the rest of the state. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, and so the concern that I believe I heard from legislators was a regional wage would create economic disparity. Can you kind of get into your reasoning against that?
Well, look, and we just did this when we addressed the school funding law. We all agreed, though, there was a major bipartisan effort to change the school law. And as part of that, we recognized and built into that law the fact that the cost of doing business is different depending on where you live. And so I think that same principle applies here. We know that the salaries for employees in the city of Chicago or in the suburbs is different than it is in Bloomington Normal, which is also different than it is in some of the most southern parts of our state. So, and these are not things that are tied to just beliefs, right? There's economic data that backs this up. And I think we should use that data in tying the minimum wage to those economic indexes that tell you what that cost of operations is, the cost of living in some of those areas. Again, you know, just breaking, like, what does all this mean? Well, you know, think about it. In our community, the amount that someone pays for rent for a two-bedroom apartment is very different than it is in downtown Chicago. So, and the rent here is very different than it is in some of our communities that are just 20 and 30 miles away from campus, right? So my point in all of this is that we should recognize the realities of the economics of our state and embed those realities into any minimum wage hike and simply accept the fact that one size doesn't fit all in this instance.
Considering locally then, I mean, you are a local senator, what would you say is a fair minimum wage increase? What's the number for McLean County?
Well, look, I think that a reasonable argument can be made to raise the minimum wage. And we went through this debate over the last few years when there's been some various proposals. What I'm uncomfortable doing is saying that this proposal is the right one. And we've advocated for, you know, a slower ramp up to 15. The current proposal is over a six-year period. I think, you know, there were several stakeholders in this who said that should be 8 or 10 years. But again, that regionalization factor, I think, very important. What the right number is often the subject of a political debate, but I think there's some economists who could weigh in and say, well, here's where the right number might be for McLean County. My point is the proposal on the table is too much too quickly.
In a press release, you say you hope the passage of SB 1 is not how negotiations will proceed in the spring. So Pritzker has a Democratic majority on both sides of the chamber. While the new governor has said he wants to focus on bipartisanship, what's the climate like down in Springfield for a Republican like yourself?
I really, you know, this is the first piece of, you know, substantive legislation. It's called Senate Bill 1. As Governor Pritzker came into office, I very publicly said I will work with him. I said, we need a governor who will lead. I said I was concerned about some of the things that he advocated on the campaign trail. But I heard him when he won his election. He pledged to work in a moderate fashion, that he would embrace bipartisanship, and that he would be a governor who would take input from both sides. I took his word at that, and I said, I accept that. I pledge to work with him, and I have publicly supported some of the things that he includes as his, you know, on his agenda. This one, though, here it is. This is the first one that we actually, where the rubber hits the road, we take a vote on it. And what he demonstrated is, as much as he has said he wants to operate in a bipartisan fashion, he in no way embraced that here. He went into the Senate Democratic Caucus yesterday before the vote, and he said, hey, Democrats, this is an important political issue for me. I need you to rally for me on this issue. And unfortunately, those Senate Democrats didn't stand up for their districts. Some of those Senate Democrats come from downstate districts like mine, whether they be in Champaign, Urbana, over in Peoria, or elsewhere. They need to stand up for their districts where this proposal has the potential of doing real damage. And instead of standing up for their districts, they stood up for the political agenda of the governor. And that causes me a lot of concern. I think the notion that Pritzker did not negotiate in any good faith on this causes me concern. And now it moves to the House, where hopefully some reasonableness will prevail.
There is revived talk about a gambling expansion, but the average gambler is getting up in age, and casino gambling revenue is declining. Is it worth it?
Well, one never knows. Every year, I think every year that I've been in the legislature, there have been serious proposals about some kind of a gambling expansion. A few years ago, it was all about, you know, new land-based casinos. This year, I think there's going to be a lot of attention on sports betting and online betting. And so, you know, my approach is always you look at those in the context of what the economics are, the supply and demand piece. you recognize that I don't think for us as Illinoisans situated in the Midwest here, we don't envision ourselves as being a Las Vegas style environment. So that's always in the back of your head that there's a limit to what should and could be done. But ultimately, I'll weigh the various proposals that come forward on that. I'll weigh each of them on their merits and then cast judgment on them as I see them.
Video gambling use is actually continually on the rise, and it's yet to reach a plateau. But renewed attention to the social costs of gambling is also on the rise. How do you balance those factors when considering gambling legislation?
You know, the gambling that is really causing me some heartburn is the video poker that is, you know, you see them in every strip mall around our community. And it's the same around the state. And the states and locals are generating a significant amount of revenue from these, but certainly they come at a cost. The people who are, you know, spending their entire paycheck in these at these little terminals, as well as just the, you know, the visual. I mean, I can't help but notice when you drive around town that every strip mall seems to have one of these video poker parlors. And it just doesn't seem, it seems like the culture of that doesn't necessarily mesh with our Central Illinois culture. So there's a limit. I don't know what the, you know, again, where that exact line is, but it's something that I continue to monitor and, you know, will continue to watch.
Tobacco 21 is back on the table. It's back on the table basically every year. Where do you stand?
You know, I voted against this last year, and just to explain, you know, my thoughts on this, I represent a large district that includes Bloomington Normal here, but it stretches from the center of the state all the way over to the Indiana border. As I travel the communities, especially along the border, there's always a concern that as Illinois changes its law, whether it be here with Tobacco 21 or on other issues, that all we're going to do is drive some of those border community businesses out of business as they move, in some instances, 10 miles to the east to locate themselves in Indiana. So I think this is the Tobacco 21 is one where I get it. I understand it. I don't smoke. I, you know, never have, quite frankly. However, I recognize there is a potential negative impact on the business community when we set regulations that are outside of where we are as a country. Long-standing proposition that if you're 18, you're old enough to do things like join the military, vote, and go buy nicotine and other products that maybe aren't that good for you, but that's the choice you get in this free America we live in.
A few weeks back, Speaker of the House Michael Madigan was in the spotlight as part of a scandal with Chicago Alderman Danny Solis. Now, Madigan was unknowingly wiretapped during a conversation with a Chicago developer, and the FBI has tapes of the speaker pitching his own firm's services. Now, Madigan says that he's not under investigation as far as he knows. Former Governor Bruce Rauner says he's not surprised. What do you think?
You know, this story has received lots of attention, and most of it, I think, speculation. None of us know what the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Department of Justice might be looking into here. Nothing that I've seen. Look, I've been a very significant critic of Speaker Madigan's. I think, you know, the individual that he has amassed more influence and power in the legislative process than anyone in maybe the history of our state. And I wish he'd use that influence for some good. We've got lots of challenges. He needs to use that influence in that way. However, I also recognize that in the media reports on this issue, I've not seen anything reported that suggests he did something wrong. There's been plenty of things reported that I understand the public reads and it leaves a very bad taste in their mouth, might leave a bad taste in my mouth. But there's a difference between that and what's legal and illegal. And thus far, we've not seen anything that suggests Madigan did anything illegal. More to come.
State Senator Jason Berrickman with GLT's Mary Cullen.